Thank you, Steve. I'm excited when we know that song and can sing it as loud as it's meant to be sung. That's a good one. That's a good one. I know we all sing kind of timidly. It's kind of new to us, and we're all holy, holy, right? That's how we say that word, holy. Yeah, yeah, it's holy. It's holy. We're scared to raise a joyful noise sometimes, aren't we? So I'm excited for us to sing that some more. I am so glad that you are here today. I told my wife, she said, hey, I need the keys. I need to go out to the truck for a minute. She said, don't worry, I'll be back for your sermon. I said, you better hurry because I might be done by then. That was her throwing her head back in laughter, if you didn't notice that. She got the joke. But we are glad that you are here. We've got a lot of our number that are traveling and visiting family, just like a lot of you are here traveling and visiting family. And we are so grateful that God has brought us all together today to worship His name, to praise Him, and to remember what Jesus has done for us, and in that find strength for the coming week. And I know you've been paying attention as much as I have, that the coming week is probably going to need some strength. Last week needed some strength. The week before that needed some strength. And I don't know, something about the pace of the things going on in creation, it's picking up. So you hang on to your faith. You hang on to your faith because, it is evident that at least one side of the fence is moving. So hang in there. Hang in there. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer, and then let's get in the Word today. Our Father in heaven, we are here for you. We are here because Jesus gave His life for us. And so we have believed, and so we have put everything to follow You. We have put our hope in You and You alone. And Father, we celebrate today because You have seen fit to forgive us of our sins. You have seen fit to show us mercy when we were dead. You have seen fit to bring us into Your glorious light. You have seen fit to give us the cure for death. Father, as we look at Your scriptures this morning, as we take a closer look at Jesus, I pray that You fill our hearts. I pray, Father, that You fill our cups, that we overflow, so that when we go out this week, we will spill onto those around us. I pray that as we go out this week, that we will have something to offer a lost and dying world. Father, I pray that You strengthen us and give us the confidence of Jesus, so that we do not look at the enemy's movements with helplessness or despair. But I pray that we carry the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ everywhere we go. And I pray that we trust in His name and in His power and in His victory. Not only for us, but for all who put their faith and hope in His name. Father, we know that there are some this morning, some that are having a hard time seeing You through their suffering. And we ask, Father, a special blessing on the community of Uvalde. Bless them in their suffering. I pray that You watch over our number here this morning, Father, that are distracted. Lift our eyes. Lift our eyes above the details of life so that we may see the source of life. Father, help us do this every day. I pray through Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there are moments in our life that we really like to capture, that we would love if they just lasted a little longer, right? Or that we might want to relive at some point in the future, think back, wow, what a great day that was. And so, We all use the cameras in our pockets, right? Wait, something's happening, or something might happen. And whenever something's happening around us, we got to catch a video of it. We've got to save it for later. We got to immediately post it because I enjoyed this moment. Other people may want to enjoy this moment. See, things happen in our lives that we just enjoy, and we want them to last longer. I think about the dinner that you're going to get to have with your family that's here in town today. Think about when you get to catch up with an old friend, someone you should have reached out to a while back, and you finally get that moment, and you're sitting and sharing that table with them, and you just, I don't want to go. I wasn't sure that I wanted to be here, but now that I'm here, I just want to stay here. That happens in our life from time to time, that we go through those moments that we want to hold on to. Celebrations, right? Celebrations. If every day we could treat each other like Mother's Day, right? Wouldn't that be awesome? I told my wife this morning, I said, you know, I'm really impressed for what you do for me. And she said, well, dear, you know, you and I are one. And so I figure whatever I'm doing for you, I'm doing for me. Well, of course, I had some spiritual advice for her. I said, dear, you keep on practicing self-care as long as you can. You look out for you. You got this, babe. True story. That actually happened on the ride to church this morning. How about vacation? Oh, you ever had that vacation to where you didn't want it to end? Right? You walked around. You were at the beach. That was mine. Just being at the beach where you couldn't see anything but water and sky. And you had the sand between your toes. And you're like, wait, what day is today? That's the best part. When you leave the phone away and the watch and you don't know what time it is, and you don't know what day it is until someone says, well, we got to pack up. Oh, no, let me enjoy this. Let me enjoy this break. I want this to last. I want this to last forever, which we wouldn't. We wouldn't because if it lasted forever, it wouldn't be vacation, would it? No, it's a wonderful gift. Well, church, this morning, what I want us to talk about is the fact that in our spiritual lives, that is our most important lives, in our lives of faith, there are times that we just totally enjoy. That we just absolutely, they just fill our hearts. They just send us over the moon and we would love to capture those, right? I mean, I think about the times that we have here at Sunrise and when we get to experience a baptism and we get to stand in a circle and sing encouragement and pray over them and just know that heaven is rejoicing with us because a soul has been added to God's kingdom. And I think, yeah, every week, right? And you know those Sundays just like I do where, oh, today, the singing, oh, right? We're just right there. We feel like we are singing with the angels. Or every once in a while, the message will speak right to your heart and you'll say, yeah, nailed it. Why can't it be like that every Sunday? Why can't every week be this good? And we want to capture that, don't we? And then as soon as we capture it and we just enjoy the singing or we're on fire in the communion service or the sermon spoke to us and we want to hold on to that and we show up the next week with higher expectations, don't we? Like, all right, God, you did something good last week. I'm ready. And then, oh, something didn't go right. The kids are fussy this morning. I'm distracted. I'm still thinking about what I did wrong Friday and what I got to do tomorrow. And I'm just not here. Or that one person said that one little word that I took the wrong way. Or maybe I took it as intended. And it just got me wrecked. If it only could be just like those great times. Did you guys ever go to church camp? Bible camp, whatever. Ooh, I was blessed to go to church camp growing up and Bible camp and all the way into high school. I got to go to Encounter at LCU. And I tell you what, if you've ever had those experiences, those times where you were out in nature and you and just a bunch of other people were just sitting around the campfire and you're just singing songs of praise and you would get home and you'd say, oh, why can't church be like that? And you're away out of everything. You don't stare at your cell phone for a whole week and everything is about God and everything is about our fellowship. And you just get so filled with the Spirit because of those circumstances. And then you come home and you're always let down, right? The Sunday after church camp, it's always, it doesn't feel the same. Everyone at church camp was just on fire and everyone was so, and now we're back here and everyone's talking about their stuff. Everyone's back to normal life. We get back to normal life like that, don't we? Yeah. If only it could all be that wonderful. If only we could experience those spiritual highs. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Church, this is absolutely normal and absolutely, well, this is a part of the experience with God. But I want you to know, and I'm just going to give you a disclaimer. I want you to know, I have been doing this, just Dale said in his prayer this morning, it's been a while. And I get up every Sunday morning with high expectations. Still. Every time. Every time I come here to Sunrise, I'm expecting something good to happen. I'm expecting God to show up. I have not lowered my expectations on Him because I have seen too much. I have been able to experience too many good things. And so I always set the bar high. I always want to see something big. In Matthew chapter 17, three of the disciples get to see something big. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on the mountain. Let's pick it up in verse 1. Matthew 17, 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good that we're here. If you wish, I will make three tents here. One for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces, and they were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise, have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, don't tell anybody about the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. Church, this is where the phrase mountaintop experience comes from. Jesus takes his three closest disciples and he says, all right, come on, come up here with me. And they go up to this hilly place, and he is transfigured, he is transformed, he is literally changed in appearance before their eyes, and he just becomes bright light. And there's brightness all around him, and there's light all around him. And the disciples are just looking, seeing this. I mean, this is one of those moments that if you saw, you would be forever changed. If you saw something like this with your own eyes, you'd be forever changed. You may not want to tell anybody. I mean, when Jesus said, hey, don't tell anybody about this about till later. No problem. They're not going to believe it anyway. You ever seen something so amazing that you were just scared to share it? No one's going to believe this. I mean, there's sometimes some good things will happen in our lives. We're like, oh, I got to tell everybody about this. You're not going to believe this. But when it's really hard to believe, we're not so anxious to share it, are we? No. When something is actually unbelievable, we throw that word around a lot. When something is actually amazing, we're kind of, I don't know. That was out of the ordinary. That was different. I don't know how to explain that. I don't know how to draw a picture for you. And these three disciples are able to see this. And then Moses and Elijah show up. And they're all there. And the disciples are just like, ow. And what does Peter say? Let's build some tents. Build some tents? Yeah, because, I mean, Jesus, you're here and Moses is kind of important. He's here. And, well, there's Elijah. He's kind of important. He's here. Maybe if we built a tent, this would last longer. Right? Yeah. Yeah, that's what we like to do. We like to encapsulate our spiritual experiences. We like to cement them, don't we? We do like to cement them. You know the thing about cement? Doesn't move, does it? No, it doesn't. But what does Jesus say about the Spirit? What did he compare the Holy Spirit to? You remember? The what? Somebody read it. The wind. The wind. Jesus says the Spirit's movement, it's like the wind. Oh, you can hear it. But you don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's headed. All you can do is see its effects. Church, that is what we are filled with, and that is what we follow. We don't follow cement foundations, right? Church, the most important thing that you do this week is not this hour, this morning. Most important thing you do this week is when you carry your faith with you out into the world, when you are following in the footsteps of Jesus, when you are led by the Spirit and you do kind things to others and you speak of your Lord and Savior and you reach out to someone who is lost and hurting. That's what's important, because that's what Jesus does, and that's where we are following him to be. Church, we got to be on the move. We got to be on the move, right? I mean, we know that we all have a final destination that we're looking for. We have a final destination where our journeys want to lead. But having a final destination means that we are traveling. Traveling. That's what Jesus does. He says the Spirit just moves where it wants to. And the disciples are just like us. The disciples have an experience and they're like, put down roots. Build some tents. This feeling that I have right now, this, you just showed me something. You just opened my eyes to something amazing. Make it permanent. Make it permanent. And you notice that Jesus, how many times did Jesus do something good and then slip away? That wasn't an accident. That wasn't an accident. And it wasn't always because they wanted to kill him. Jesus was just like, hey, here's something good. We're moving on. He heals a bunch of people. He teaches the good news. And he says, hey, we have other towns to go to. We have somewhere else to be. And how many times in the Gospels did people say individually, Lord, take me with you or stay here a while. We'll feed you. We'll put your followers up. We'll give them someplace to stay. Just please be here with us. And Jesus was always, no, I've got somewhere to be. I've got somewhere to be. I've got somewhere to go. Look, these disciples, church, they're just like us. And just like us, we want to capture those wonderful spiritual experiences in our life. We want to hold on to them like this, don't we? Yes. And then it's just like, if I can just recapture that, if I can just preach that sermon just like that, that one where so many people were on fire, that one that really spoke to hearts, that's what I'm going for again. And our song leaders are like, yes, I led all the right songs and everybody was on in tune and it just was a joyful noise and everybody was on fire. And this, if I can just recapture that, and we go chasing the that, don't we? Yeah, we go chasing the that instead of the him. Church, we need to be chasing the him, not the that. All right? Because the that's going to come and the that is going to go. And we're going to have highs and we're going to have lows and we're going to have mountaintop experiences. We are going to have those times in our spiritual walk where we're just like, yes, I am on fire for God and nothing is going to shake me. Really? You know what happens the very next story in this scripture in Matthew chapter 17? They come off the mountain, and who are they met by? A distraught father. Distraught father comes up to Jesus and says, Jesus, give me a hand. I need some help. I got a problem here, and your followers couldn't do anything about it. No, Peter, James, and John, those who had the mountaintop experience, because you know the worst part of the mountaintop experience is coming in contact with people who did not get the mountaintop experience, right? You ever show up to church on a Sunday morning, you're like, this is it. This is going to be good today. I need this. I've needed this all week. I am ready. I'm ready to sing those songs. I'm ready to read scripture. And you get there and you talk to someone, you say, brother, sister, it's good to see you. Is it? Is it good? Oh, sorry. Now, none of you, it's another church I went to where I experienced that. It hadn't happened in over 20 years. So don't sweat it. Okay. Nobody feel bad. But you know what I'm talking about? You're on fire and you're showing up and you're ready and you brought the Spirit with you and you just want everybody else to bring the Spirit with them, and someone brought a different Spirit. Somebody brought a different Spirit. Spirit of complaining. Spirit of bitterness. A spirit that needs to be laid at the feet of Jesus, but for whatever reason they're holding on to it. And we bring that into our worship, don't we? And I sing the song. Lunch on the stove, it's going to be crowded when we get there anyway. We bring all these different spirits with us, and we come off the mountain sometimes, and we run into those other disciples who aren't doing so well, and we're just like, seriously? You know, if I could just be a part of a church where everybody was on fire for God all the time, then it'd be so easy. Yeah, it would. Newsflash, I've said this before. I'll probably have to say it again. Jesus didn't call to easy, did he? No, he did not. No, he did not. Take a look at the story. Verse 14, when they came to the crowd, a man came up kneeling before him. Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and he suffers terribly. He falls in the fire, into the water. I brought him to your disciples. They could not heal him. Jesus answered, faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. And the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Lord, quick question. Why couldn't we do that? We tried. We waved our hands. We said the words we saw you say. What happened? Verse 20. And he said, because of your little faith. Ha ha. Ouch. Because of your little faith. How many times have we cried out to God and said, oh, well, I can't believe God didn't take care of that. You and I accuse God like he's the little one, don't we? You bet we do. Shame on us, but we do. We cry out to God and say, God, you couldn't take care of that. Too big for you, huh? And to say something's too big for God is really saying what? God is too little for it. Careful. Careful. Very careful. Yeah. Jesus doesn't mince words. He doesn't mess around. Lord, why did we fail? Because your faith was too little. Lord, why did we fail? We've seen you succeed. And can you imagine Peter, James, and John? Yeah, if we were here. You know they were thinking it, right? You know the three disciples were thinking it. They come off the mountaintop experience like, yeah, okay, Jesus, you know what? We get your frustration. We understand now what you have to deal with. You know, you've got to deal with all these other faithless disciples. Yeah, if you guys had stronger faith, then you'd been able to be like Jesus. I'm going to remind you, do you remember the stories directly before the transfiguration? Peter has his mountaintop and valley experience in a very short matter of time, right? Because right before this moment, Jesus looks at them and say, hey, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ. Good job, Peter. It's that confession. I will build my church. And then, not very long after, Jesus says, hey, you guys know that being the Christ means I'm going to go and die. And Peter says, no, it does not. It certainly does not mean this or that. Church, how many times have we said that to God? No. You are God, and you do this, and you do that. What did Jesus say to Peter? You get behind me, Satan, because your mind is not right. You are not thinking. In spiritual terms, you are not thinking about my eternal kingdom. So Peter himself had a mountaintop and a valley moment in a very short period of time. The three disciples have a mountaintop experience, and they come back to the rest of them. Now they're in the valley, and Jesus calls them out and says, your little faith. Truly, I say to you, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And you know the first thing we do when we read that? Okay, Jesus says, here to here, nothing will be impossible. First thing that comes into our minds, right? All the ways that that's impossible. Way to go! That's how we follow Jesus. We follow Jesus exactly like them. And then we look at him and say, well, why didn't this work? Why didn't you answer that prayer? Why didn't you make a church grow? Why didn't you take care of this or that? Why didn't you fix this? Why didn't you protect that? Why didn't you heal this? We're always crying out to him like he's the one with the problem. Church, he is not the one with the problem. We are. We are. He gave us everything we needed for life and eternity and goodness and blessings. Church, the problem is our little faith. The problem is our little faith. And I know there's at least one of you sitting there going, yeah, but Michael, I've been let down. I had faith. You questioning my faith? My faith was strong enough, and it didn't happen the way that I wanted it to happen. And you know what happens? I mean, what do you want me to say to that? Oh, you know what? You're right. You're right. God's wrong. His word's not true. Is that what you want me to say? Is that what you would want to hear in that moment when God didn't act exactly the way you thought he should act? Yep, you're right. It's not true. Is that what we want to hear? Do we want our hearts comforted? Because it couldn't have been our faith. Couldn't have been us. Couldn't have been that just God had a better plan, that God saw more than we did, that God understands more clearly than we do, and that maybe God is actually working all things out to end up for good. Maybe, just maybe, God knows what he's doing. And it's not really the place of the followers to constantly be looking at him going, where are we going, when are we going to get there, and what is it going to look like? You guys may have been the only ones traveling with little kids this week. Did you hear, are we there yet? They're laughing. You ever heard that? Are we on the way to church? You stop at a red light and they look up. Oh, are we there yet? Wait, what are you talking about? This is the stop sign at the end of our block. Of course we're not there yet. But are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Our kids, they question us. And we're just like that with Jesus, aren't we? But in the end, you want your kids to what? You want your kids to trust that you, the seasoned, licensed driver, know where you're going, how to get there, and you'll take care of it. Sit back, read your book, play with your iPad, and enjoy the ride. Right? But it's almost like God knows us or something. Sit back, get out of the driver's seat, and don't be a backseat driver. Read your book, play with your toys, and enjoy the ride. Church, God is acting new each day. And I had just to read from Lamentations chapter 3. Because God acts new each day, you and I have to have new faith each day. That's the thing I've learned about mountaintop experiences, and I'm sure you have too. That the mountaintop experience is not strong enough to carry you in to tomorrow or next week or next month. And it's not meant to be. It's not meant to be. You and I are not supposed to have that 1 week away at the spiritual retreat or the Bible camp and we're good for 3 years. No, I went to camp. I went to camp when I was a kid. I'm good. No, I taught that Bible class once. Yeah, I'm good. No, that's not how it's supposed to go. And so Lamentations, the prophet Jeremiah cries out to God, and you know why the whole book is written. The book of Lamentations is a cry out to God, because they are in a bad way. God has punished them for their sin. And Jeremiah cries out, and he says, look, this tastes horrible. The gall, the wormwood, I mean, the words he uses, my face is in the dirt. I've got a boot on my neck. This is not fun. This is not good. And if I had all day, it wouldn't be long enough to list all of my complaints of how much we're not enjoying this. And he picks up Israel's cry to God. He says, this is not fun. This is not what we signed up for. Yeah, I know it's our fault, but this is still not fun. And you and I, we pray in the same way. God, I know I'm following you and you're right there. You filled me with your spirit. I am a temple, a living, breathing, walking tent made for you to go wherever I go. And it's all good, except, you know, it's too hot. You know, Lord, if you send me to minister to more grateful people, that'd be great. If people would just appreciate what I am bringing to their lives, yeah, that'd be great. They don't appreciate it. So why should I even bother? Hurts because it's true, right? Yeah, that's when it hurts, because it's true. Because, Lord, I got a complaint, and I got a complaint, and I got a complaint. But here's what the prophet got right. Turn back over to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Because we love this song, don't we? This is one of my favorite songs. One of my absolute favorite songs. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Because in verse 21, and you can go back and read the whole chapter if you need to this afternoon, because the beginning verses that we didn't read, more complaining, more description of what's wrong with the world. And in verse 21, he says, but I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. In other words, I remember how good you really are, and so I'm not going to give up, because the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Oh, one of my all-time favorites. All-time favorites. I mean, you talk about church camp experience, right? That was me every summer. Or that was the youth group every Sunday night. You know, let's sing this one, Steadfast Love of the Lord. You know the song, right? I mean, it's just like the verse. It's just got a little music to it. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every single morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. Church, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. God's love doesn't quit. And every single morning, God has planned new mercies for you to receive. Every single morning. Quit trying to grab yesterday's mercies. Those were for yesterday. Every single day, God has new mercies for you to receive. And some are going to be mountaintop. Some of them are going to be, whoo, it is good that we are here. Let's put down stakes and let's build a house right here because this is awesome. And some mornings you're going to get up and you're going to hear the news and it's going to be tough and it's going to be down. And you're going to be like, what, Lord, why? Well, maybe you just need to learn better faith today. You ever had those days? Because when you're a faithful person walking with Jesus, you know how those days end. The terrible days, how do they end? Lord, I apologize. I should have trusted you. Because you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. So whether you are on top of the mountain or whether you were down in the ditch, every day brings a new mercy for you because that's how good God is. His faithfulness is good. So, the mountaintop doesn't last. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Number one, we can draw memory for all the good that God has done. Draw from memory all the good that God has gotten us through. That's an amazing thing to do. Number two, your prayer life better be fresh. Your prayer life better be fresh. That means you get up each and every day and you start the day off with a reorientation of God. You are God and I am Michael and I'm following you. You show me where to go. You show me what I need to see because I want those new mercies today. You guys have read the book. You know that it all depends on faith, right? I'm not describing some amazing thing that only the mountaintop people are going to get. But Jesus shows us that not everybody who are even follow Him get it. I want you to be one who gets it. I want you to be one who trusts God. You get up tomorrow and you say, all right, God, today's a new day. I want to see your mercies. Today's a new day. I want to be able to share, take part in sharing your mercies. You have great things planned for today. I want to walk in those things. I want to share in those things. I just want to be overflowing with those things. Church, you got to get in the scripture Monday through Saturday because I'm not going to say any names, but some of you hadn't opened that Bible app since last Sunday. It's not enough. It's not enough. You can't see Jesus clearly if you don't keep your eyes on Jesus. Because guess what? This may be new to some of you. This is kind of static, is it not? I mean, yes, it's living and active, but I can go to this, and it's pretty consistent, is it not? Yeah. But the one that it describes is not standing still. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But just like Jesus said, his spirit is always on the move. That's why I can't always catch him the way that I want to. Because he's always moving ahead of me. I want to follow him. I want to follow in his footsteps. But you and I, again, back to that concrete, we think that the footsteps of Jesus are, I got this. Yep, I know where we're going. We'll get there. Following Jesus isn't like that. There's some moments in life following Jesus, it's kind of like he's just turning around with that hyssop branch and he's covering his tracks. They're going to love this. Because sometimes he's hard to catch, isn't he? Sometimes he's hard to find. Sometimes he's elusive. Why would he do that? Why would he be elusive? I mean, if you are the Christ, why don't you just jump out and tell everybody who you are? Yep, that was his earthly brothers. That's what they said. If you really are Jesus, why don't you just show everybody? Hey, how about we be better than his unfaithful earthly brothers? How about we trust Jesus enough to say, Jesus, you are the Christ, the living, resurrected God. I'm going to let you go where you go, and I'm just going to try to hang on, and I'm going to try to follow. Jesus is on the move, but a roadmap is the best way to learn how to find him. Get in your Bible, all right? I shouldn't have to beg. And Steve read it for us in our Bible study this morning. The spiritual warfare that is happening all around you is getting severe. And if that's a newsflash, I'm sorry. It's getting hot out there. And it's only going to get hotter. And if you are unarmed and ill-prepared, some of us are going to get hurt. Some of us are going to get hurt. Suit up. It's time. It's time. I'm going to leave you with a couple of nuggets. I'm going to share with you because some of you are going to go, hey, yeah, it's the best thing you said all morning. And some of you are going to go, oh, yeah. But I think about this analogy. The best meal you ever had. Best supper. Picture it. I want you to picture it. Smell it. Go ahead. I'll give you a second. Oh. Best meal you had. Best supper. I mean, maybe it was the birthday supper. Maybe it was at the steakhouse. Medium rare. With the brisket queso. Oh, strawberry pecan salad at Longhorn Steakhouse. I'm rethinking my lunch plans. Best meal you ever had. Guess what is always true of the following morning? You're always hungry for breakfast. Doesn't matter how good the meal is, you got to keep on eating if you're going to live. Keep eating. I know it's an old analogy, but it's not a silly analogy. It's true. You got to keep eating. If that cereal, that bowl of cereal was nothing like that steak you had the night before, don't get mad at the cereal. Be thankful for the steak. Oh, that was a great steak. Maybe we'll get to have it again sometime. And you come home. You remember coming home after that wonderful meal? You think, ooh, I wonder what they got up their sleeve today. Sandwiches. Yay. I love sandwiches. And you just force that sandwich down, smile through it. There's no steak. No, it's not. But it's going to fill you up. It's going to fill you up. Couple of things. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Mark's been having us read these Beatitudes in the Lord's Supper this month. Really appreciated that. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, this is one of his blessed statements. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be what? Satisfied. You got to want it, church. You got to want it. You want that mountaintop experience. You want to be close to Jesus every step of the day. You want your Christian faith to really matter so that it does direct your steps in light and life and righteousness. You got to want it. We can't just sit here and go, oh, well, maybe he'll dole some of it out today. Uh-uh. You got to show up, plate in hand, stomach empty, just drooling. I got to have some of that. You got to show up hungry, because that's who he fills. That's who he fills. If your life and your heart and your proverbial spiritual stomach are so full of so much other stuff that you got no room for God to fill you up, he's not going to top you off. If you got no room for him, he's got nothing for you. Show up hungry. That's what Jesus says. Show up hungry. You'll get full. You will get full. He does not leave you hungry. A little bit later, Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus would say, today has enough trouble for today. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough trouble for itself. Guess what? The opposite is also true. I guess it wouldn't be the opposite then, would it? Today also has enough for your faith. God is providing enough today for you to fill up on. Open your eyes. Open your faith. Open your hearts. Quit looking around going, where's God in all these moments? God is not, he has not gone anywhere. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. God has not moved. He may be elusive sometimes, but that's only because you and I forgot the signs. You and I lost our compass. You and I forgot how to be followers. You and I struck out on our own. Then when it got difficult, we looked around at the craggly rocks under our feet going, where's Jesus? Yeah, you left Jesus miles ago. But Jesus should be here. I'm here. No, Jesus is going that way. Get on board. Get on board. And finally, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, again, you know what a yoke is. It holds two things together. But even in the Jewish tradition, a yoke was a teaching. A yoke was a teaching. It was a rabbi's teaching. Like, what rabbi did you follow? What rabbi did you learn from? That's what a yoke was. That's what it was considered. And so Jesus is saying, if you're going to follow this rabbi, you got to know that the yoke that I placed upon you, my interpretation of the scriptures, they're easy to follow. They're easy to follow. Jesus is easy to follow. He really is. I mean, they tried to test him on it, and you're not going to get any smarter than the lawyer. They tried to test him and said, well, you know, Jesus, what's the most important commandment? He says, well, what do you think it is? Well, I think it's love God and love your neighbor. Bingo. Now go do it. Maybe the church would be more effective in this world if we stopped worrying about talking about, what does he call it? I don't want to say that wrong. Jots and tittles? Am I saying that word right? Do what? Did I get it right? Iotas, yeah, yeah, dotting your I's and crossing your T's. Yeah. Huh. Maybe we focus on the big picture and see that that's exactly what Jesus did. He loved God and he loved his neighbors. And then he got out there and did it. Church, you want more of those mountaintop experiences? I know you do. I do. I look for them every day. I need more Jesus every single day. And the faith that I had for yesterday will not suffice for today. It won't cut it. Because I want to see Jesus today. I want to serve Jesus today. I want to experience his new mercies today. How am I going to do that? With a renewed faith in him today. Do not trust last week's faith. It's not strong enough. Do not trust last year's faith. It's not strong enough. You are right where you are. Jesus promises to be there. You got to have the faith to see it. You got to have the faith to trust it. We have to have the faith to walk with him this week. And if we do, his promises are going to happen. His promises are going to happen. And some of them are going to be awesome. Some days following Jesus are going to be great. I mean, we're talking Transfiguration Mountain days. Some days following Jesus, we're going to get chastised because our faith was too weak. But you know what? In Steve's study this morning, he took us to Job chapter 1, and Job had a great response. He had a great response after losing everything in his life. He had a great response to his wife. And he said, you know what? God gave it all to me. God can take it all away. Because none of us came into this world owning a thing. We didn't bring anything. And when we die, ownership again will transfer. Will it not? I didn't bring it with me. I can't take it with me. It's all His. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. You know the next line. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what. Church, we have that kind of faith and we will see His mercies. We have that kind of faith and we will enjoy what He is doing in our lives. Because it's making us better. It's bringing us closer. And we all know where we're going. Let's walk with Jesus.